I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, reading from the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you for this day that you've called us together to hear your word. And I ask, O God, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds and the meditation of our hearts, but that you would be present especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth. I ask, O Lord, that you would accept these words this day, that they might continue to bring glory to you, O God, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Every season of Advent, just when we're starting to feel the pull of the excitement of the season, who walks in but John the Baptist? John the Baptist walks in and asks us to have a reality check, asks us to take a serious look at our life. He's talking about the coming Messiah, but he's also asking us to get ready by repenting. To repent, to turn around, to change our ways so that we can be ready for the change that's coming. His preaching is a call, no more it's a command, that we reorient ourselves, that we turn from our former ways to change our attitudes and our perceptions, which means that we have to stop what we are doing and take a hard look at ourselves, at our lives, and it's not often what we want to do when we're in the midst of Advent preparations. It's not what we want to take the time for in the midst of what could be our busiest time of the year. But that's the call of John the Baptist each and every Advent, to have a reality check, to see if you truly are ready for the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist was the last of a long line of prophets that was longing for a savior, longing for the Messiah to come. They looked with hope and longing for the one who would bring in God's reign when things would be set right. They knew it was close. They knew it was close, and they held on to that hope. Hear again what John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," or at hand. It's very close. He could sense that it was just right around the corner, but not quite there yet. Isaiah, the scripture that Jean read for us this morning. Isaiah is one of those prophets that looked with that same hope and longing for a savior, for a Messiah. When Isaiah hears these words from the Lord, the Babylonians are actually at the gate, ready to attack. They're laying siege to Jerusalem. And Isaiah hears this word of the Lord about a future time. He talks about a dead stump. A dead stump, and out of that dead stump will come new life. New shoots and branches will come forth from something that just seems to be about death and despair. There doesn't seem to be any possibilities. The people of Israel that looked at their future, that looked at that dead stump, didn't think that things could change, didn't think that peace was possible, didn't think that things could ever get better. But what God saw and what God said was that he was not finished with the Israelites yet. He saw possibilities. He saw the opportunities that could come from a new shoot, a new leader, a new servant of God. Out of that dead stump would come new life. And we know that new life as the Messiah. But the people of Israel weren't there yet. And so Isaiah spells out what the reign of God, what the kingdom of God would be like. The created order would be turned upside down. Eden would be restored. Things would be so different than anything that they could imagine. Sometimes we call this passage the vision of the peaceable kingdom. For if you listen closely, truly the world was turned upside down by the coming of this new ruler. Wolves and leopards would lie down with goats and with lambs. Domestic animals and predators would live side by side. Cows and lions would eat straw together. Children could play near the home of poisonous snakes. Not anything that they could imagine, nothing in their reality would say that that was possible. But the prophet knew. The prophet had heard from the Lord that that was possible, that ancient enemies could become friends, that the world could be turned back right side up. But it was only possible through God's Spirit. God's Spirit could and would inaugurate change in a whole world order. And God's Spirit would enliven that stump. New life. New life would come. And by the Spirit of God, that person would lead with wisdom and with knowledge, with courage, and not with military power, but with power from on high to bring the people back to righteousness. Isaiah believed and preached to the people that God would do this, that God could do this. The prophet and the people then had a powerful hope, a hope that kept their faith alive through some of their darkest days of their history. They believed that one day, God's Messiah would set all things right. That God's Messiah would set all things right. We too live in that hope. In the season of Advent, we too long that God will set all things right, that it is possible that God will make all things new, that God will turn things back to the way God intends. But we're not quite there yet, are we? Even with the coming of Christ, we've not yet reached that peaceable kingdom. Pamela Hawkins, in her book Behold, says this: "In many ways, Advent is a not yet season. Mary and Joseph have not yet traveled to Bethlehem. The infant Jesus has not yet been born. The angels have not yet appeared to the shepherds, and the star has not yet come to rest over the manger. Still, with all these not yets embedded in the Advent story, we spend these days and weeks living in faith that God will provide what has been promised, a long-awaited Messiah, a living hope." So even as we live into this not yet season, as we prepare for Christmas, we also live in that not yet season of Christ's return. We're in a constant state of hoping for one thing, waiting for it, and still hoping in faith for it yet to come. It's into this not yet season that John the Baptist bursts in every year. He has one foot in the old age that's coming to an end and one foot in the new age about to be born. And his message is repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near, very near. The message is clear. John doesn't mince words. The message is very clear. You need to get ready. You need to get your house in order. What has to change in your life? You have to look at what has to change in your life in order to be able to welcome the change that's about to happen. You need to be ready. And it means as an individual and as a community, you need to see what's in the way of that coming to make that change possible. We often hear John the Baptist's words as a harsh warning, and we hear repentance as something that we're reluctant to do, but we sometimes think about repentance as a way to avoid punishment at the hands of an angry God. But really what John the Baptist is saying is that to repent comes out of a great passion, a great desire to be able to participate in this new thing. You need to have your heart in the right place. You need to be ready. If there's a lot in your way, if there's a lot blocking Jesus from coming, you won't be a part of that new kingdom. You won't be able to be involved. So get things right now so that when the change occurs, you'll be ready. We'll be ready to be a part of what God is doing. And we want to be ready. We don't want to just do what we're called to do to be righteous, to avoid God's wrath. We want to be a part of the new thing that God will do, that God can do, that God is doing in our midst. The message of John the Baptist is that a changed life is very possible. To repent is to believe with God that all things truly can happen and are possible. Change is possible. Even when we think that we can't change, change is always possible. And it begins, the first step always, is to recognize our need to change, our need to repent, our need to confess, and then asking God to help us turn around, to ask God to give us a new heart, to ask God to provide a changed life. The scripture tells us that crowds flocked to hear this message of John the Baptist. They came from the cities, they came from the countryside, they came out into the wilderness where John was preaching. And you have to wonder why the people came to hear that message. I wonder if perhaps people were tired of the way they were living their lives and they wanted something new and different that John offered. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I wonder if they were finally wanting to hear about a God that would keep them accountable, that God really did care enough about what they were doing to help them get it right. Perhaps they came out because they needed that message to turn their lives around before the promised one came. We know that even Pharisees and Sadducees came out to hear John's message, and John's message was a harsh one for them, that they too needed to be a part of that baptism of repentance. They too needed to change. They thought they were the righteous ones. They thought they had it right, but they needed to change too. And I wonder if they came longing for a change, but not too much, not too much, not something that would take away any of their power or prestige, just a little change, just to make their life a little better. But that's not what John was preaching. John was preaching a complete turnaround, to have a new heart and to have a changed life. John the Baptist comes into our lives this day with that same word for us, that we need to repent, we need to get ready, we need to put our house in order, we need to change our perceptions and our attitudes, we need to have that changed heart, we need to make that path smooth for Christ to enter our lives. I wonder sometimes if we come to church just to hear a comforting word. I wonder if sometimes we gather here so that we might just feel good about ourselves, where instead we hear today a message that should challenge us. It should make us look at our lives. It should make us think. It should make us stop in our tracks and wonder what it is in my life, in each of our lives, that needs to be changed and made new. That's a challenge for us, to take that time, that prayerful time, to figure out what needs to change in my life, what blocks that smooth path for Christ into my living. Our Advent study this year, that's written in part by Mike Slaughter, is Down to Earth. And it's about a Savior that came down to earth to be with us, a Savior that came to show us how best to be ready for God's kingdom. In the first chapter of that study, he calls to mind these verses from Philippians. If then there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Paul is asking the people of Philippi the question that we need to ask ourselves. What difference does it make to us that Christ came into our lives? How are we living differently because of Christmas? How are we sharing our faith because God became one of us? What's different for us because of that? Paul is saying to the Philippians that if you really have faith in this Jesus, then you will live like him. You will act like him. You will love like him. You will have the mercy and compassion and humility that he had. Your lives would reflect the reality that because of Christ, something changed for you and something changed in your community. God became one of us, Emmanuel, so that we would get a glimpse of that kingdom, so we would have a model to know how best we were called to live. And with the Spirit's help, we can change our hearts, we can change our minds, and we can change our lives so that we all could be more like Christ. This season, there are always a gazillion opportunities to put that love into action. During Advent and the Christmas tide, there's always many ways that we can show our love by our giving and by our actions. But what we really need is a changed life that goes beyond the holidays, that goes beyond our church family, a changed life that's lived out each and every day in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community, a changed life that people look at us and say, look at the way they love one another. Look at the way they loved one another. That truly, this Advent season, would reflect a changed life, a changed heart, and people would see Christ in us. Perhaps that's what God is asking of us this Advent Christmas season. Amen. And let us pray. Oh, Holy God, we thank you that your words of Scripture challenge us to be who you would hope we would be. They challenge us to look towards your future with hope, but they challenge us as well, oh Lord, to look at ourselves so that we might repent of those places where we lock you out, those places where we have let obstacles get in the way, those places in our lives that keep us from living and loving as you would want us to be. We come to you, O Lord, this day, and we confess that there is so much that gets in the way of truly being like your Son. As we gather here, O Lord, this day, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. We thank you for the gift of this congregation. We thank you for the many ways that we already work together to show your love to a hurting community. And we pray this day that you would continue to guide us, that you would show us the way that you would have us to go, the ministries that we would be a part of. And we ask not only would you guide this congregation, but would you guide each of us as well by your Holy Spirit, so we would know how best to live. We come together, O Lord, and as a community of faith, we lift up to you those who need to know that gift of hope, that promise for a future. We pray especially for all those who mourn in this season. And we pray that the light of your love would shine brightly in their homes and in their hearts, and that they would know your comfort and your peace. We pray, O Lord, this day for all who need to know your presence as our great physician, and we pray that you would hold them close in your healing embrace. And we pray for family members and caregivers who walk this journey with them. O Lord God, this day we pray for places around your world that just need to have that word of hope, that sense of assurance that things can change and will be better. We pray, O Lord, for those places that just need to know security and safety, health and welfare, those who need to know the gift of food and clean water. And we ask, O Lord, that through our loving and through our gifts, that we would remember your children around the globe who just need to have that sense, that affirmation, that assurance that you are there with them and for them. Continue to change our hearts and change our lives, that the world might see Christ through us. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.